All right, we're coming to you with a special edition.
Out of left field.
Out of left field, opening day reference from Ross.
You're welcome.
This is a knee-jerk reaction to the Westworld Season 2 trailer that just dropped this morning.
Was this a scheduled drop or a surprise?
This is a schedule.
Okay, because I was surprised. I didn't know.
I've known about it since last night.
Oh, man, you were really prepared.
Yeah, you know, all the cast members are tweeting out about it, and that's like all my Twitter feed is these days, so I kind of couldn't miss it.
I stayed off the Twitter for the most part last night, and I was very surprised by this, and my mind is a little, I'm rattled. I'm shook.
I am too, and I will say right now that if you are a newcomer, if you're somebody who has not seen all 10 episodes of Season 1 of Westworld, turn us off right now.
You're done. Time to leave.
We will give you...
Seriously, 10 more seconds. You get 10 more seconds of warning. You're not supposed to be here. This is not an episode for you. You stick to the regular show that we put out every Monday. This is for other people who have seen the whole fucking season.
This is spoiler filled. Usually we don't do spoilers, but we had too many people asking us to do a recap of the trailer. So yeah, if you've not seen episodes 1 to 10 of Westworld, leave right now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Boom. The reckoning is here, Ross.
The reckoning.
The reckoning is here.
Good God.
Oh, my God.
Everything they do, I mean, the way they use modern music, the piano version of it for the show and for the trailers, and it just, this trailer gave me more anxiety than maybe any trailer sans Game of Thrones ever.
So the music you're talking about, we had an orchestral cover of Nirvana's Heart-Shaped Box this time around.
Why? Why is that the song choice?
I don't know. I do not know. But it was interesting. Usually they do player piano covers, and this is like a straight up orchestral, like the Cleveland Pops Symphony or some shit. I made that up, but that's the kind of people I imagine would have done this.
The Cleveland Pops Symphony. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there's some deeper meaning for the song choice.
It looked like they might have been making a heart at one point in the lab. They were building a red thing.
Okay, that's interesting.
I kind of just thought that looked like a heart.
Are you going to run us through this thing like piece by piece?
Yes.
What are we going to do?
So this is knee-jerk reactions. So I kind of have a list of most of the scenes that they show.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to go through those, and we're going to be like, what?
Jerk my knee.
Yeah, we're going to jerk knees here.
Jerk me, Jerk.
What does that even mean? Knee. I'm currently stroking Ross's
like,
knee.
No. It's like, you know how the doctor hits your knee and it makes it bounce?
Oh.
That's a knee jerk.
I wish it was...
To make sure that you're working.
Oh. Well, I guess that's almost as good as what I wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. All right. So it starts off with Arnold talking to Dolores about a dream he had where the hosts were all on a distant shore while he was on an ocean. And then Dolores is like, what's it mean? And I assume this is Arnold, by the way. You know, it could be Bernard, but I'm going back and assuming these are the talks that Arnold and Dolores have.
Right.
Which could be wrong. Maybe there's these talks between Bernard and Dolores now.
We don't know. It's impossible to know. The only thing that we can go off of is his clothing. But even then, at this point where we're at in the show with season two, who's to say that that's going to be a determining factor for us? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Nobody knows. So we have Arnold. And then, yeah, Dolores says, what does the dream mean? And he's like, dreams don't mean anything. And that upsets Dolores, and she's like, I don't think that's entirely true. So we think that Dolores now thinks there's meaning to her dreams, which she is programmed to believe have no meaning and are just dreams.
Yeah, I don't know what any of this means. I really don't care to know.
Hey, we're jerking knees here, and that's why we're going to the next thing. It looks like there's a duality between what Arnold is saying to Dolores and what Bernard is going through in the aftermath of Ford's party. Or at least how this season... We don't know where any of this goes in the season. That's the hardest part. We don't know if this is all like episode 1-2 shit. This is episodes 1-10.
We don't want to know. I mean, yeah, that'd be no fun to know.
I agree. At one point, we see during all this talk of oceans and distant shores, we see Bernard standing on a shore and there's like hundreds of dead host bodies in the water, like floating kind of like...
How do you know they're host bodies?
We don't!
Why'd you call them host bodies?
Because this is my interpretation. My knee jerk. My knee's jerking.
They're bodies. I don't know if they're host
Ross,
bodies.
Ross, my knee is currently twitching out over
they're
here.
They're in a...
I just kicked Micah.
But those bodies are in a body of water. And there's a lot of them.
They're playing the crocodile game. If you're not familiar with the crocodile game, you should go back to our episode 8 recap.
There's a lot of dead people in this trailer. or yeah. dead robots.
So I kind both. Of they kind of frame it in a way where it's like we hear Bernard talking about this distant shore, and then we see
Arnold,
yeah, and then we see all these dead bodies, and like, is that the distant shore? Who fucking knows?
We know that shore scene is Bernard because he's walking with yeah. our boy Ashley Stubbs.
Yeah, A-team.
The A-team. So, but I'm with the theory that it's Arnold talking to Dolores.
Yeah.
And that this is like a parallel to that, yeah. what's actually going down with Bernard. Yeah.
But you don't know.
But no, we don't know.
So then we also see Dolores talking to somebody who looks like William about a reckoning.
Does it look like William?
I think we don't see the face. We see the back slash side of the head.
Yeah, you can see the hair, though. I don't know if it's him, man.
I don't feel like contextually that doesn't really make sense.
I didn't recognize this character.
He could be one of the new guys.
That's the thing about this season. We have no idea what this storyline is going to be, how it's going to unfold. Like,
they're adding new characters in who we don't know who they're playing and what they're going to be like. And then maybe this is one of them. But I wouldn't make sense if it was William, so that's why it confused me. So I'm assuming it's somebody else, but then who the hell is Dolores having their knees talking to about a reckoning?
I don't know.
We'll find out. We hear more about the reckoning is here.
That's a reckoning.
A lot of reckoning going on here. I do reckon that.
What is a reckoning?
It's one of those things, I can't really explain it. A reckoning is like things are, you're going to get what's coming to you, you know? Like what's meant to happen based on the way the circumstances have been laid out is going to come. And for some people, it's going to be a rude awakening because they're going to get fucked.
Okay. Google says a reckoning is the action or process of calculating or estimating something, a person's view, opinion, or judgment, a bill or account, or its settlement. That's the one that we're going with here.
Okay, so if Joel Embiid calls himself the process, I want to call myself the reckoning.
The avenging or punishing of past mistakes or misdeeds. And obviously, I'm assuming it's multiple definitions here that you know, this reckoning refers to, but the biggest one being that these humans thought that they could, you know, build these AI robots and not suffer the consequences of that.
Some Contra Paso consequences, possibly.
And now they're getting punished for those mistakes or misdeeds. So
they call me the Reckoning, Ross.
Nobody calls you the Reckoning.
Embrace the Reckoning. That's my new saying. Mm-hmm. So then we see what looks like William analyzing Dolores in the Mesa Hub, in one of the rooms.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, literally William, but it's not Man in Black William. It is young William, like the William that we see in season one. And it looks like he's, like, in a room in the Mesa Hub. It's dark. It could be, like, a, you know, decrepit old room. Maybe it's one of the ones under a cottage, like we see with Ford family of hosts.
Possibly.
I don't know. But that's... It's important to note that my knee-jerk reaction and Ross's knee-jerk reaction may not at all be what happens. These are knee-jerks.
We have no idea what's going on.
My knees are flailing wildly. They're about to come off the socket.
We're just throwing out guesses.
I just tore my ACL.
Enough knee jokes.
Okay, sorry. The man in black starts talking to somebody. It's a host, we feel like, because he says that you guys are free now, so I assume he's talking to a host. We have no idea who he's talking to.
I don't think that's an assumption. He's talking to a host.
Yeah. Man, when I assume stuff, you make fun of me for assuming stuff. When I don't assume stuff, you say it should be assumed.
Well, but
I can't win with you.
He's talking to a host. It wouldn't make sense in any other context.
Maybe he was talking to... You're right. I can't do anything with that. Then Maeve starts freaking out because she wants to see her daughter, which to me was really weird.
Who's she freaking out on?
Tex. Was it Felix and Sylvester?
No.
Who was it?
It's your boy.
Lee Sizemore.
Yes.
It was Lee Sizemore.
Yes.
Oh, God, I love him.
We're getting Maeve and Lee.
Two amazing characters.
Yeah. She is going to force him to take her... Like, he's trying to explain to her, like, look, your child isn't your child anymore. It's been completely rewritten, reprogrammed, whatever. She's like, fuck that, you're taking me to my child.
All of this was so weird to me, since she very recently, in our watching of it, has been against seeing people from her memories. I mean, we have Felix looking up where her daughter is, and she's like, I don't even care. I want to get out of here. So what happened to make her change her mind?
The last three episodes?
Well, yeah, because that's
season
what...
Season one?
That's what brought her, you know... Isn't that what made her get back off the train?
Mm-hmm. That's why she didn't leave. because she was like, I can't do, I need to find this, my
we
girl.
We still need that answer to what, was it before it's programming and we think that made her come back?
I don't know.
I need that answer to what made her change her mind so badly about that, because we do not get it at the end of season one. Now, we then have somebody smashed Little Ford's face in.
Yes, he's opened up.
Somebody with a black hat that is shaped similarly to the Man in Black's hat. I'm not going to make any assumptions here because Ross just grinds my gears when I do.
R.I.P. Little Ford.
But R.I.P. Little Ford. That man's face was smashed in.
That boy.
That boy's face was smashed in. I'm not saying he didn't deserve it because he was a nosy little prick, but...
It's smashed in or is it just opened up?
Oh, it was smashed, like a chip. It was chipped off.
For real?
Yeah, okay. It was like, what is it, the movie Face Off, where the guy's face comes off?
You know what? I'm going to take my assumption. I'm going to assume something, make an ass out of you and me. Is my assumption is that Bernard angrily beats the shit out of Little Ford. Because he can't beat the shit out of real Ford, because he's a goner.
Interesting.
So he pounds Little Ford's face in.
I like it.
And just an angry outburst about everything that's gone down.
I like it. Maybe Jock got reborn and he remembered that Little Ford killed him.
Remember.
And then Jock came back and bit Little Ford's face off.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be sick. And then Jock was the horse that somebody was riding away on that we see.
Jock becomes a horse?
Well, he becomes horse-like in a way.
Mm-hmm.
These are knee-jerk reactions.
Of course.
And then we see something awesome that we see twice in this trailer. People on dune buggies.
Yeah.
There were people shooting guns off a dune buggy. It looked like Mad Max Fury Road.
But there was a point where it looks like there's dune buggies trailing who I thought was a dead prostitute. What's her name?
Clementine.
Like, she's leading on horseback dune buggies or some shit. Like, I don't know what's going on there, but that's what it looked like to me.
Very interesting. I would like to see that. I'm all in on dune buggies.
I will say this. I thought it was... The reason I think the trailer is so masterful is because it gives you a ton of different stuff without any explanation, and I don't want any explanation. Like, oftentimes, a trailer for a season of a TV show will kind of give away a few things. This didn't give away anything.
No.
Like, we have no idea what's going on.
We don't know who wins. We don't know if it's like... For all we know, the humans could be, like, very much favored to win this battle. They could, like, call in a massive army of, like, a million people.
We see big groups of armed soldiers that are... certainly presumed to be humans. They're in like SWAT gear and shit.
And we also see a bunch of like Confederate looking soldiers inside of like a fort.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know.
We see Charlotte Hale wearing like this insane tactical gear.
Yeah, she got a bulletproof vest on and shit.
Yeah. Hot. She's wearing something for once.
Ooh, yeah. That's a shame.
We also see Maeve working on Hector. What the fuck is she doing to him?
She's just making him she's turning up his sex drive. That's what I would assume.
And his bulk apperception.
Yeah, and his bulk apperception.
We see some, I hate to say this, we see some Dolores and Teddy scenes.
Yes, we did. We see, what does he say?
Talks about, there's only been blood for the last 10 miles or something.
Like, yeah, we've been riding for 10 miles and seen nothing but blood. Like, are you sure this, it's just a classic Teddy line where you're just like, oh, this motherfucker.
But it reminds me a lot of The Train Ride. Where Lawrence said that there was nothing after the train ride but slaughter. It's why are these people getting into situations where there's only slaughter? There's like, hey, you know what? Maybe you like eating at fast food restaurants. Maybe you like going to the movies. I'm sorry. All we have for you is slaughter.
Slaughter is the only option on the menu.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we're actually working on a lot of the park right now. The only storyline we have left is the one that's just...
Everyone dies.
Everyone dies. 10 miles of slaughter. Is that okay? And then you're like, I already trained all the way here, I guess. We hear Dolores. We see a bloodbath in the control room of the Mesa Hub.
Yeah.
Fool's dying.
And then, there's... I can't tell who... It's like somebody in a trench coat or possibly a samurai or somebody running into the actual like map area of the control room or what.
That also could have been a different control room because it was all red colored, and it makes me think maybe that was the Shogun / Samurai World
like
control room.
99% sure we end up in another park at some point this season.
Yeah, because we see Maeve.
We see the
samurais.
We see Maeve donning samurai gear or geisha gear. There's multiple instances of that. We see a straight up geisha with a white painted face or whatever. The question is obviously, at what point in the season is that whole deal going to come into play?
Yeah.
And we saw in season one at one point, we saw that room full of samurais that really tipped off that we were going to deal with that, that maybe as the next park. And obviously, as we've discussed on the regular show, at some point, this storyline will run its course or have to be moved to another park. We also need to know where the parks are, how that works. How does Maeve get to the park where she's dressed up as a geisha now? Like, what?
As far as South by Southwest World hints, I couldn't talk about these, obviously.
Right.
In our recap.
This is spoiler land, though.
Yeah, now we're doing spoilers. Here are some things from South by Southwest World that came into play. The first one is there was a samurai walking around, and also in the blacksmith shop there at South by Southwest World, there was a samurai sword like hanging in the rafters.
Okay.
So they definitely gave us clues that, yeah, there's going to be some samurai slash shogun, whatever they want to call it, world shit going on.
I used to play a computer game called Shogun Total War. Shogun, however you pronounce it.
How'd it go?
It was fun as hell. Just saying.
Okay, yeah, no, that's good commentary right there. Later on, I have one more thing from South by Southwest World, but the next thing we see is Dolores says, like, it's us or them. So more reckoning shit. Very, very war-esque.
Well, one interesting thing will be to see if there are humans who fight on the side of the hosts.
Yes, like Man in Black. He says he's going to burn this place down.
I think it's safe to assume there are going to be. It's just going to be which humans are they. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Also, obviously, as we find out, William is the Man in Black. What will be the story arc for him now as present-day Man in Black dealing with the fallout of this situation in the park?
Here's a good question. Which side, host or human, is Dustin going to be on?
Yeah, that's what everybody wants to know.
Because Dustin fucks the hosts, so obviously he loves hosts, but you got to imagine if the hosts take over, they're not going to let him have sex with them all willy-nilly anymore.
Remind me, is Sylvester the sandwich fucker still alive?
Yeah, no.
I don't remember if he dies.
I think Sylvester dies.
I don't remember. I'll be honest with you. I have done such a good job of wiping my mind clean of the end of season one so that we could properly do the rewatch without spoiling anything so that it's like a first time through. There's a ton that I do not know or remember or recall. Like, I have the general idea for how season one ends.
He's alive.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. Because the biggest thing I'm looking for this season is I really want to see him fuck a ham sandwich on screen.
I do too. And they didn't show anything like hinting at that in the trailer, which has me slightly worried.
In one scene, if you pause it in the far back left corner, you can see a tiny jar of mayonnaise, and I thought maybe that could be hinting at a potential Sylvester sandwich fucking scene.
That's very true. That also could have just been like a food table for like the actors that they accidentally put on scene.
True.
But yeah, Ross pointed out a very interesting fact about how I've had people saying to me, like, man, it's pretty crazy that you guys can go through this and like not dish out any spoilers. Like, good job. It's impressive.
It's not easy.
What they don't know is that Ross and I have legitimately not watched Westworld in like a year and a half and have forgotten some big details.
Oh, that's made it really easy. I mean, that's made it a lot easier. But also, we've had to multiple times stop recording and delete a part because we've accidentally said something that was too spoilery or whatever. So it's not like we're without, you know, error here. But it's that's the thing that we get the most props for. Like, man, it must be so hard for you guys. But it's not that hard. I have a shit memory.
Yeah, I forgot a lot of stuff. But there are some points where we want to mention things and we're like, oh, can't do that. Go back.
So again, just to recap there, it is both very hard and not hard at all.
Yeah, I hope you can understand that.
Yeah.
We then see what looks like, okay, so we have Logan standing by a pool deck, and there's an old man walking away from him. Really want this to be Logan's dad / CEO of Delos.
Ooh,
need to meet this guy.
Dude, yes, that would be huge.
Because
I didn't notice that scene.
I bet you that guy's a asshole, massive asshole.
Oh, just a big dick, old, probably racist white guy.
Yeah. He's going to be an interesting character if this is actually going to pan out.
Yeah.
Really need it to be him.
I'm on board with that.
I want to hear what he says about William, too, if he thinks he's a pussy, too.
Jerking my knee so good right now, Jared.
I'm stroking you. We see another hint from South by Southwest World that was probably, it was actually the biggest hint. At the end of South by Southwest World, like all of the clues.
What do you mean by the end?
There was an end goal.
Okay.
And it was that you go to the secret room.
Okay.
And in the secret room, you see a tech working on like this. You remember the all white host that kills the person that kills the tech?
How could I forget?
So it's that. There's a tech working.
We see multiple of those in the trailer.
Yeah, and like, those don't look like human.
Well, they're half made. They're not finished.
Well, no, but the head, the way the heads are, it looks like they're not even made to look human. It looks like they're like bigger and stronger. Like maybe they're maybe those are the army ones that Delos is working on. That's my
maybe,
theory.
Maybe, yeah. Okay, I could see that.
Like those are like the army hosts. And
they are big jacked dudes. They're not small, normal sized humans.
Big, massive heads. Their heads look like Isaac Haas's heads if you are basketball fans.
They have a lack of like eyeballs and noses and shit too. It looked like they were solid heads.
I can't really picture it.
I don't know though. I just know I don't want to fuck with one of those.
Yeah, I don't either. So in South by Southwest World, you in the back room, you saw that. You saw them working on them. And then after you got your photos, they're doing this thing where the photos will glitch out and they'll like show different other things like codes and other stuff. It would glitch out and you would see that host from inside the room you saw like throwing a tech into a blender or some crazy shit.
Oh, God.
We actually might have the GIF up on our...
It's pronounced GIF.
No, we actually have the GIF up on our social, I believe. So go to Twitter and at Freeze on Motor. And it might also be on Instagram at Freeze on Motor Function.
If you're one of the people out there who says GIF, which is believed to be the correct pronunciation, please refrain from that.
Producer Micah says what? GIF?
I know a lot of GIF people. And
I say both.
It's just not right.
I think I say GIF now. I think I switched on accident.
It's a fucking G. GIF.
You're a fucking G.
Giraffe.
King. All right, a couple more things we see, and then we'll get out of your knee-jerk hair.
It's pronounced giraffe, not giraffe.
Sorry. We see the man in black saying he's going to burn this whole thing to the ground.
Yes. Man in black, no likey.
No. So I'm very interested to see what he does, and if part of burning to the ground did include smashing Little Ford's face in.
Well, I also want to know if he's... Look, because he says he wants to burn it to the ground doesn't mean he's fighting on the side of the hosts. He could be on the side of the humans and want to destroy all the hosts the park entirely. I'm actually more inclined to believe that's the angle he will take, but we'll see.
I think he's on the side of the hosts.
With Dolores?
Yeah. Like he is.
It's a possibility.
We see a lot of things from Shogun World, including, like you said, Maeve dressed up as the geisha.
Multiple times, yeah. Yeah. Do.
A lot of Shogun World / Samurai World.
A lot of that is towards the end of the trailer, and if I had to give an educated guess based on everything we've seen, I'd say that this season takes place in the West World that we know, West World, and that it ends with, like, you know, maybe episode 8, 9, somewhere in there, maybe the penultimate episode, episode 9, is the one where we get into Samurai World, and that sets up season 3. You know what I mean? Because I think they finish off Westworld as a place. I think the show will maintain that name forever, no matter what. But I think the park will change after this season.
My guess is that about halfway through, that the hosts from Westworld are going to go into Shogun World and turn them into, like, make them start rebelling.
Why do you call it Shogun World?
Because that's what everybody calls it. I don't know when this was announced, because I always thought it would be Samurai World.
No, okay, Shogun is what it's called. I get that, but
everybody's been calling it that, so Samurai I assume it's been announced in some regard.
Okay, that makes sense, but I'm still calling it Samurai World for now until somebody tells me not to.
And then the last big thing we see, it ends on like Dolores and Bernard talking about Dolores and Arnold talking about he's like, I'm scared of you. She's like, why would you be scared of me? And that's ominous because obviously
that smile she gives.
Yeah, we should be scared of her, and Arnold was correct in being scared of her because of what she ended up doing a long way later. Mm-hmm. But the last really cool thing that I am excited to see, it looks like Dolores makes it into the real world.
Yeah, she's dressed like a normal human, and she's looking down at like a futuristic looking giant city.
Yes.
With skyscrapers and whatnot. Which, I don't know, for those of you who have seen Ex Machina, that's the terrifying prospect of AI that is under wraps, that is captured at the end of I don't want to spoil the movie. Go watch that movie. It's a great movie. But that's obviously the terrifying, thing that could happen. It's like if we developed a robot in here at Grand X in our office, we'd have to keep it here. You can't let that shit get out into the real world. That's when things really hit the fan. And we see her. Who knows, though? That could be a dream sequence. That's the great thing about trailers. You never know what's a dream sequence, and they can really mislead you if they want to, but I would be shocked if that was a dream sequence.
For me, this whole trailer was a dream sequence because it's a dream come true.
Dude, we are so close. We're less than a month away.
I can't wait. We have two more episode recaps to give out.
That's it.
Yes, that is it. to finish up season one. And then what we're going to do is the week before it premieres, we're going to, that's when we're going to launch into our own feed.
Yes.
So no more Grand X Labs. That's when we're going to make all of you, we're going to beg and plead. You might get annoyed with us.
No. We will never annoy you.
No, we will never actively try to annoy you, but we're going to do a big push to bring everybody listening on Grand X Labs onto that feed when it launches. You know, the better we can do that, the bigger we can grow this whole thing and try to get featured on iTunes and all that good stuff. And we're going to need your help. Not yet.
Look, the bigger the podcast gets, the greater the odds that we can get big time guests such as actors and actresses, two of which we already have relatively good ties with on social media. So, yeah, that's going to be big. Keep that in mind over the next couple of weeks, that when we launch the Freeze All Motor Functions feed on its own channel, we're going to need some support there big time.
And that support is going to pay off in a big way.
Yes.
Little work from you is going to go a long way. Like I was saying, the week before the launch, we're going to do our full-on season two preview episode. And that's going to be the first one in the new feed.
So what are we going to make? Like, what is the preview episode going to entail?
Well, we're going to fully discuss, wrap up season one, which we won't really have done. We'll just have kind of watch all the 10 episodes. Wrap up season one, tie that into our what we're thinking is going to happen in season two,
okay.
Not just our knee-jerk reactions.
Gotcha.
My knees are still flailing right now.
Way more educated reactions.
Exactly. When it, we let
out.
It simmer a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And then we might bring on some guests, some fun guests, to give us their thoughts on how everything's going.
I look forward to this.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Stay tuned next Monday, our episode 9.
The penultimate episode of season one of Westworld.
It's going to come at you.
Spoiler-free.
Yeah, we're going back spoiler-free. This is the only spoiler-filled episode.
Yes, ever.
Ever.
That we will
forever.
Ever do.
No,
yeah.
Forever.
This is, well, yeah, ever.
Mm-hmm. Ever.
Forever.
Go watch the trailer 500 million more times, I recommend.
And we'll be back Monday, see episode 9. What's it called?
That's how much I've forgotten.
Just talk. Talk for 10
well,
seconds.
Well, guys, it's been really great having you here listening to me and Ross talk as I waste time and Ross types away on that little computer of his. Check out the other stuff on Grand X Labs. We got Supstog, our gym humor podcast. It's very funny, even though I don't work out. That's how much they've bridged the gap between fat people and workout people. Also, the Dadgum podcast. If you are a father, or even if you've been thinking about fatherhood.
If you have a father,
they have great insight about fatherhood. It's very funny. They do it in a way that's not lame, and it's actually hilarious.
Episode 9 is titled The Well-Tempered Clavier.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
See you then.
Sex. The description is Dolores and Bernard reconnect with their past. Maeve propositions Hector. Teddy discovers enlightenment. We'll be back Monday. It's going to be tight. It's going to be the best.
Remember.